call the Community Development Committee meeting to order. Item two, public comment. Someone's here. We'll take the new business first since Aaron is here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm requesting that the Community Development Committee consider and recommend to the City Council supporting the EDC submittal of an application on behalf of ERC Holdings to the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development, or DEED, Job Creation Fund. Just to give you a little bit of background, over the last month, I've been working with Genovis, which is a notable site selection company based in Indianapolis. They had contacted our office regarding a client that they've been working with for, actually for quite some time, and that is interested in expanding to Wilmer. ERC Holdings is a Florida business. They have offices in Chicago, Georgia, and several other locations, also internationally. They're interested in expanding to the Midwest. They've been looking at locations in Wisconsin, and they like the Wilmer location. They have found a building that works well for them. It's the building that is known locally as the Northland Group Building. Northland vacated that building a couple of months ago. It continues to be owned by the Candio High Power Cooperative. It was their former headquarters on Business Highway 71. They've indicated to me that they intend to spend $2.9 million to upgrade that facility, both internal improvements as well as external. They are interested in establishing an accounts receivable management operation. They deal with outsourcing, recovery, market research, and so forth. And their goal is to hire 238 people within the next 3 years. In their first year, they would be aiming for about 45 to 50 people, and they would ramp up from there. On September 8th, I brought this project to the EDC's Joint Operations Board, and they unanimously recommended supporting the Job Creation Fund application on behalf of ERC Holdings. As part of the application process, a local government resolution in support of the project must be included. I've already been working on the application. Here's the application that you have to fill out and so forth. I'm the local contact, et cetera. And then there's various pieces of information you have to provide in terms of you have to break down the job classifications, what you're paying them, what the benefits are, narrative, description of the business, et cetera. I've been in touch with Genovis several times, and I've been updating them as we've been going along in terms of you know, brought it to the EDC and so forth, and she has immediately passed that on to the client. They are very interested in this location. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions that you might have.
So what's in it for them then? They get some kind of break?
Right, so the Job Creation Fund is a relatively new DEED program. It's been around for now, I think this is the third year. They have tax credits as well, so it's based on the number of jobs created and then also on the capital investment. You have to do at least $500,000 of investment to be considered by this program. In terms of the jobs, you have to have those jobs for at least 12 months consecutively. So let's say you added a whole bunch of jobs in March and laid them off in June, it's not going to count. So they would actually have to have it for the full year, and then they would be considered. And so when I was in Wyndham, I had actually worked on a JCF application for a manufacturing company. I was able to garner for them $525,000 with the JCF fund, but that was involving also significant capital investment and so forth. Here, I would say if they could get to $250,000 to $300,000, I would think that would be a good target for them. you can't really ask for specific dollar amounts. They look at the information and then they decide what they're going to approve.
And the co-op is happy with this?
Co-op is very happy. And one of the strange things, or not strange, but one of the unique things is they're not interested in buying the building. They would just lease, do a long-term lease, and then they would make all these improvements. And you know, they prefer to deploy their resources with their business, not in a building, owning it. They are not looking at a TIF. They're not looking at an abatement. They're not looking at a loan from the EDC. They're just looking at the JCF estate grant.
So the co-op would still be paying
The co-op would be paying the full tax. Now, they would make some changes there. If you're familiar with the building, it's kind of a, it turns a little bit, the building. They would obviously occupy where the offices were and then where they did maintenance and that sort of thing with the trucks. That would be converted to more offices and areas. And then the building that is a separate building for storage would probably be taken down, the metal storage building, and that would allow for more parking because they would need to add more parking, and the best location is to the west and to the north of the existing building. It's a pretty good site. I have walked it. I've gone through it. You're above the lake there. It looks, it's a nice site, and I also like the easy access onto 71.
So what kind of jobs will they be creating? Accounting jobs, secretarial?
They would be primarily in the category of customer service, receptionists, information clerks, that type of thing. You're dealing with collections, you're dealing with market research, all sorts of things.
So it's kind of similar to what was there?
Yeah, it's it would be a competitor in a number of ways to Northland Group, but they're broader.
Questions from the committee?
And just to let you know, they would like to submit, I mean, they want to make a decision within 60 to 90 days. So they want to move forward fairly quickly. The risk is modest for the cooperative, and it's relatively modest to risk for other things. I think they're excited about the community.
So what was the pay scale that you had in there?
When you factor in bonuses and so forth, about $16.10 per hour.
Exclusive of benefits.
Including benefits.
Including benefits.
And renovation would take 60 days? Or?
That would probably take, because I don't know how long it's going to take on the parking. That's why I would suspect that some of those activities are going to be done in the next year when you can take, you know, you can have initial phase in there with the existing offices. But if you're going to add over 100 people, then you're going to have to deal with the parking. At least $600,000 for the existing building. They're spending or allocating $300,000 for equipment. They're going to spend at least $100,000 on updating the fiber optics system inside there, different things.
So they're planning on hiring local people?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yep.
Just bring some management staff?
There might be a couple of management people that they would bring from their other locations in Chicago or whatever. But the majority of people they want to hire are locals.
I would motion the city council support the EDC in submitting an application on behalf of VRC Holdings.
Second.
Further discussion? Custis, the city, anybody?
Strictly for them, that we just pass a resolution to support their application.
Yeah. Their main thing is the JCF, yeah. Because that's based on job creation. That's where the bulk of the benefit is. And so if they have a fair number of jobs, then they get more of that tax credit.
Any other questions? We have a motion then. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That carries. Good luck.
Thank you. I'll stick around for the other one.
So, number three has been bumped to four. So, tax abatement agreement between the
With the council recently agreeing to provide a tax abatement for the Candy Mall, improvements to value increases, the next step is to deal with the agreement to set in writing the roles and responsibilities of both parties relative to the abatement. the abatement as proposed for a period not to exceed 10 years in a total amount not to exceed $375,260. And because the abatement is technically a business subsidy under Minnesota law, the abatement agreement that the city offers is also serves as a required business subsidy agreement under statute. City Attorney Robert Scott has prepared the agreement, and it's very similar to past agreements and its contents, which again are primarily dictated by statute. The agreement, per usual, includes a section on events of default and specifies remedies that are available to the city should the developer default on the project. And again, this deals with the clawback, the repayment of all or a portion of the abated taxes based on the developer's ability to meet the goals and timelines. The city's maximum exposure over the life of the abatement is the aforementioned $375,260 over 10 years. And these obligations are contingent upon the property owner paying all of their taxes. And it is further required that the property owner not contest valuations or taxes during the life of the abatement. That being said, it's a recommendation of staff that the council approve the tax abatement agreement and authorize the necessary signatures.
Question?
I'll make that motion.
Second. This is what we talked about a couple weeks ago and approved.
Yep.
We came back with the agreement now. Any questions? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That carries.
See how quick that goes?
Yes, that's great.
We always used to have to use those as lessons for your predecessor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, John Supper.
I want to give a speech.
Well, yeah. Do you have a speech to give on any topic? I mean, we could call it.
Oh, dear.
At the last council meeting, council member, I believe, Amon requested an update on the John Supper Club building. There really isn't a lot to say beyond what I put in the council action request, and that's that the building has been under reconstruction for a long time. An open-ended building permit was authorized by the council to assist Mr. Kudrowski in completing his improvements. Believe it or not, most of the work on the building is completed. We have conducted final inspections for the overall building construction and the plumbing systems. Those approvals have been granted. The property is ready for occupancy, and it's up to the owner at this point as to who he gets for tenants and when he gets tenants in there.
So how many apartments are up there? Six or eight? Or
I think it's eight. Right. Yeah. I don't recall it offhand.
Audrey?
What has the downstairs been remodeled to hold?
The downstairs is the main level is probably the part that you would look at and say, gee, it doesn't look like it's 100% complete. And that's because depending upon who the tenant is, there'll be some tenant build out. That can hold offices, it can hold retail. There's a variety of things that could go in that lower level. And, I've heard that there are some challenges in finding tenants for the apartments, and I'm not sure what's creating those difficulties. With our housing being where it's at and our current market, there's a lot of demand. And I would think that would be attractive given its proximity to public parking lots and just overall downtown development.
Do you access the apartments from Benson Avenue?
Yes.
Okay. There isn't an access off from.
I believe
Second
the only.
Street? No, third.
Third.
Street.
I believe the only access to the apartments is off Benson Avenue.
Okay. I've just seen the doors open once in a while, but I just was curious with what it had been in, improved to do.
What we know at the staff level is what we've reported, and we might hold some opinions and some biases, but I don't think it's appropriate to get into those at this time. Mr. Kudrowski has done what he was required to do under the permits, and now it's up to him to find tenants and occupancy.
Thank you.
So the main floor could be rented out too as offices, or would he need to do some partitions?
Well, you're going to require build out for the tenants.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he could possibly have a couple different options on that main floor.
But right now it's just wide open. He uses it for storage.
Yep, and it's
inventory
or for whatever. Yeah, and it's it's available for tenants if he finds the right tenants, and if they want to make certain leasehold improvements, the site's ready to go.
But the apartments on the second floor are ready to be occupied.
They have received final inspections, and I believe the certificates of occupancy have been issued. Yes.
That was recently, though, the inspections were done, or how long?
I would say last spring, probably. So.
So he's not very hurried to find tenants.
Well, historically, we've not found Mr. Kudrowski in a hurry to do much of anything.
I think most people just assume it's not done because the exterior isn't pleasing.
And they keep making some minor improvements to the exterior, taking care of some of the masonry on the exterior, touching up the paints and doing things like that. So, not ideal, but far and away from the worst property we've got in town at this point. He has lived up to most of his obligations on that project.
Any other questions? All right, thanks for the update. Any other new business or old business? How's the one on
North Side?
North.
Don't say Ola.
Ola?
Oh.
No. Gordon. Street is it on? Did that go to court?
Next Monday, next Campbell Avenue.
Campbell.
Yep. Next Monday it does.
Olaf is taken care of.
Yep, Olaf Avenue is down. The other one on Olaf has been totally cleaned out, and they're rehabbing that for occupancy. Mm-hmm. Working with Wells Fargo on that. They were actually very responsive. So, nice change. Just for point of information, I met this week with a business group that's interested in purchasing 12 acres in our industrial park, and I truly believe we'll see an offer within 30 days.
So, west side or east side?
It would be the west side, the southern portion of the west side. And they want 12 acres with an option on 7, and on an additional 7. So.
Nice. Good. And Holly Lobby?
Hobby Lobby's got their foundation work pretty well completed. They'll get their floor poured, and then once the floor is poured, they form the walls on top of the floor, pour them, and tip them up.
Oh.
So all that's done from inside, right off the main floor.
But they're still going forward then? Because someone contacted me the other day and said there's something on the internet or Facebook that they closed all the stores.
Wow.
So, I think so, because they were doing footings out there.
Yeah, they poured a lot of piers out there. That's called pouring your money down a hole.
If it's on Facebook, it must be true.
Yeah, if it's on Facebook, it's good.
It's
got
to be true.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
They did get rained out today. That is true, because I saw it with my own eyes. I was sitting there. So the guys went running, but
Facebook is almost as reliable as the internet. So check Wikipedia when you get home and see if they're still in business.
Maybe.
Anything else?
Oh, I will throw one more thing out.
Okay, we got
I had the opportunity to meet with some people with regard to a couple different housing projects in the last couple of weeks. So we do have people in the private sector that are out there kicking some things around. Not just workforce housing, market rate housing, some mixed use. Retail, commercial, professional uses with housing as part of the project. So, got some interest
in
there. Absolutely.
Activity. That'd be good. I'm trying to drag it out as long as I can here. Pass the plane. Anything on the permits from the people that got water in their basement? Has there been a good response or
not? A trickle.
Trickle.
That's probably a bad phrase. Yes, we have had some interest shown, but primarily from one contractor, but we have gotten some people come in requesting the permits for mechanical improvements, and keeping track of all of those so we know, you know, what the value is of the waived permits, and it's not going to be significant.
It's unfortunate that it happened.
No, on our street they're still hauling stuff out of basements. Okay. Yes.
Well, yeah, yeah. It takes some time. A lot of people don't want to go in there and start gutting things when it's super wet. They want it to firm up a little bit.
I was listening to the radio the other day, and they said we're up 7 inches of rain than normal, and mm-hmm. it's just going to continue to get worse for a while.
Yeah, I've heard talk of a very wet fall. Yeah. That'd be too bad.
So on a question for the REA project out there, if they tear down some buildings and add more parking, do they have to have the holding pond retention, because they're over an acre in the site, aren't they?
Well, we'll look at the acre of the impervious building site right now. And so technically any increase when you've got over 1 acre of impervious requires it to be managed on site. And they've got room to do that at the north end of their property where it goes down and gets really narrow between the lake and the highway.
Yeah.
So they'll have to put in a settling pond at that location with some type of an outlet elevation established.
No problem with the DNR in that, because of the lake?
We dump a lot of our storm sewer into the lake, so that's the reason for the, we can't let them take their parking lot, run it to a catch basin, and send it in a pipe right to the lake. They've got to have the pond settled. So,
I know the DNR, they're kind of...
Yeah. Those standards have been established and they're noted in our stormwater ordinance, so they'll have to comply with that.
It can go to the stormwater system, correct?
Yes.
To the stormwater, and then the DNR doesn't have a problem as long as it's not a new connection, I believe.
I don't know that you would even have a big issue with creating a new outlet to the lake as long as what's upstream is properly treated. So that's what they're going to look at. We will involve the DNR Division of Waters anytime there's a new outlet to a water body. It's just
the parking. Doesn't the parking have to be at least 50 feet away from the lake or from the edge of the bluff there? Or?
Yep. Yep. You got to maintain a 50-foot bluff setback up there.
So have you been out checking on the Grass Lake project? I see they're out there very early in the morning.
Yeah. I see it when I go over the overpass out there. They've done a lot of work. They've got Peach Creek diverted. They have accomplished that.
So it's basically Peach Creek, then. Not much of Wilmer's water will go.
No, what's happened is, what used to happen is Peach Creek would come rushing into ditch 23. Peach Creek water would come in so fast, the Wilmer water couldn't push through it, so the Wilmer water backs up. You'd create this head. And by diverting Peach Creek, Wilmer water should flow quicker. Hopefully. Time will tell. You know, we've seen so many engineering studies on that over the years.
And then that pond by the new school?
Mm-hmm.
They aren't going to have a fountain or anything in there to keep the water moving, will they? It's like kind of stagnant.
Typically in a stormwater pond, you don't put a fountain in there.
Pretty big one.
Yeah, it's good size. You know, the public wonders why there's a lot of mosquitoes, and if you look at the breeding conditions that are created by mandatory stormwater ordinances, it's kind of a catch-22. Controlling stormwater and growing your mosquitoes bigger and better every year.
There were some big ones.
The underground storage.
One question back on that building that the bike trail runs along you know, up to the top there and goes through their parking lot, does it not?
Yes, it does.
Will that need to be, the changes they're doing, will there be anything there that needs to change?
Well, there is an easement right now across that property for that, so they can't block the trail or anything.
Okay.
That was designed and constructed the way it turned out because of the topography. You know what it's like when you get to the southwest edge of that Candy Co-op parking lot. There's a, well, it's a sliding hill. So that it had to be kind of inventive how we got the trail up there and then parallel the ridge line and then take it down the highway. I mean, there are options, but they're expensive options. And this was seen as a good fix. And at that time, the co-op was very supportive of it. So that's how we did it.
So I was just thinking if they're running parking behind, if it made more sense to go behind versus in front the way it is now.
Well, you know, that's interesting. At some point, there's buildings that go almost right up to the edge of the bluff right now. So that was the obstruction in the past. If those buildings are coming out, that would be an opportunity to take a look at it and have it parallel, have the trail parallel that lake bluff and then tie back in.
Thank you.
They'll have to come in with the plan review, won't they, to tear down that metal building?
No, to tear it, well, they need to get a permit to do the demolition. So that's when we sit down and say, okay, what's going to happen after the building's developed? What are you expanding? They'll have to bring in a parking lot plan, but that all gets done internally between the light department and the engineering department.
And the co-op.
And the co-op, yeah.
Not the tenant.
Right. Well, the tenant will be, the tenant will do it, but co-op's going to have to sign off on it as a leasehold improvement.
He's got one already.
See anything about the building sitting on the bluff? It would be neat if we could go.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking, because it's a bit of a challenge to go through their parking lot and then along when you ride bike there.
The easement is on that very east edge. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, on the very west edge, but I know most people just ride it that one.
Yeah.
And there's room actually for another row of parking in the front of this building. So by taking this out and putting another row in there, they'll be able to handle their parking needs, and they're probably going to operate two shifts out there anyway, so it's not like we need parking for 230 cars.
They might even like it better than it doesn't look through the parking lot.
Now, just from a public safety standpoint, it makes a lot of sense to get people off there, but then, you know, then somebody will come along and say, oh, man, my kid was riding on that trail and they went over the block. No, I'm not late. There you go.
Same thing that you did right there.
Guardrail.
Because that's where you're at the whole way.
Yep. Chicken fence. Put up signs and say, be careful.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
All right. We're adjourned. Thanks.
Thank you.
Oh, sure.
And everyone just said Hobby Lobby is not closed.
Find that on Facebook?